Hour number two of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. 5:30, we go around the NFL, a picks and analysis for every single game. And there's a lot of news, injury notes, all kinds of good stuff that will get you. Make sure you're set for your fantasy lineups this weekend. All of that coming up in just a little bit. 6 o'clock, our pick six at six. I definitely know who I'm picking first if I have the first pick this week. So that's fun. We'll get there coming up at 6 p.m. Right now, though, let's get to it. The latest on Jaden Daniels from someone who was out there in Ashburn today and is every single day. It is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Joining us today, Nikki Javala, Washington Post, very much her beat. And the Commanders beat got a little extra on a Friday. You got to talk to Jaden Daniels today. We think he's going to wind up being listed as questionable here, Nikki. What have you made of how they've kind of handled this process this week and how, I don't want to say when I ask it, is it legitimate? Like, of course, they're going through the steps, but how much of this is show and how much of this is, hey, maybe the kid is going to play on Sunday after all?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, Dan Quinn said this was the process all along. The plan all along was, you know, to give him a couple of days of rest and then see if he can go Friday, and push him to really see if he'd be capable of sustaining a full game, and then assess him from there. So I wasn't terribly surprised. I kind of thought that was how it would go. I thought, you know, the one comment that gave me a little bit of pause about his availability this week was when Quinn said he would be week to week. He didn't say day to day. He said week to week. So I think that's kind of what's thrown me on all this. And, you know, of course, I'm not specifying anything about the nature of the injury, just a rib area injury. So the fact that he was able to participate in team drills fully, he was listed as limited today, but he was, Quinn said, involved in all the team drills. That's certainly a good sign. I think the more telling thing will be to see how he feels tomorrow, and then going into Sunday. So if I had to guess, they haven't announced it yet, but if I had to guess, I would think they'd probably list him as questionable and then take it all the way up to the game as close as they can.
How risky is it to take it to Sunday without making a move tomorrow with potentially activating Sam Hartman as the third quarterback off the practice squad and then just having him be the emergency guy? Like, is that a telltale they'll do, or is because he would be the third guy anyway,
right,
you just not worry about it and you take, like, is the gamesmanship, I guess, more valuable, or you think that they'll go through with that and we might find out tomorrow one way or the other?
If they don't elevate Sam Hartman, that's probably a good sign. It's not the only sign. I don't think we can infer, you know, totally based off that, you know, sure, they could go with two quarterbacks into the game. And like you said, you know, just leave it at that. But yeah, if they don't elevate them, it's probably a good sign for Jaden, but they could, of course, still elevate them and then make Hartman ultimately inactive and have Jaden still play. So yeah, I mean, I think every move will be magnified, scrutinized over these next 48 hours. But yeah, they're keeping this one close to the vest for sure.
Yeah. Nikki Javala, Washington Post, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Do you think deep down they kind of want this to go one way or the other? I mean, I guess, like, obviously there's a risk. Hey, he looks like he's fully healthy, but then they're holding their breath. Like, in a way, do you think that there's anybody, whether it's Dan, whether it's Adam up in the front office, that is just like, man, I really hope that we just kind of, you know, we don't have to lock him in a broom closet because he wants to play so bad and he feels fine, and that we just want to take this out another week? Or is that just not how these guys are wired?
Yeah, I don't think that's how these guys are wired. I think they want to be smart about it. You don't want to put him out there and then ultimately lose him to a re-injury and have him, you know, lose multiple weeks. They are in a good spot on the team. Marcus did play well. I don't know that his performance can necessarily be replicated to that degree. I thought he played really well, but they're not going to face that Panthers defense every week, unfortunately. I think they want him to play, but they want to be smart about it too. And I think, you know, if Jaden had his way, sure, he would love to be out there every single week. But I do get the sense that he's smart enough to know, like, if he can't do everything that he's capable of, it really doesn't benefit the team a whole lot. You know, he's a great quarterback. He's been great so far, but they want him at full strength for sure, or as strength as you can be at this point in the season.
So when you look at Marcus and what he did last week, obviously it's greatly enhanced by that Carolina defense, but he also did a lot of good stuff. How do you look at this matchup differently if it's Marcus versus Jaden, specifically against the Chicago Bears defense and the caliber they are?
Yeah, I think it's a lot different. I mean, that's a good defense. It's a really good defense. And I think the offense has only gotten better, especially over recent weeks as they've made those adjustments. And Caleb has really, really blocked result. But yeah, I think it's going to be a tough challenge no matter what. I think probably everybody would feel more comfortable if Jaden were back there and healthy enough to play like he normally does. You know, he's a good player. He's a smart player, makes good decisions. You know, not that Marcus doesn't all the time. I just think, you know, and it's a small sample size too, right? We're talking about, you know, 6+ games really, since he didn't play the majority of the last game. But in that, he's just shown consistency throughout, which over the course of Marcus's career, you haven't always seen that. But I also think it's, you know, a lot of these guys that they all have more reps with Jaden too. You know, Marcus hasn't taken one since, you know, the start of the regular season. So, you know, I think that all factors in. Jaden can do things that most other quarterbacks can't. That's the reality of it. He's young, hasn't played a whole lot yet. But I think that's part of what's been so remarkable about what he's shown is he seems to be one of those rare ones.
So obviously, Nick Javala is with us here from the Washington Post for Not My Beat today on the Hoffman Show. When you talk to folks in the building, you look at the games yourself. We know that Brian Robinson and that running game is going to be really important to either quarterback. How confident are you that they can get the running game going against a Bears defense that is good against the run, for as great as they've been against the pass? But they're definitely stronger against the pass and have given up some real explosive plays on the ground this year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's certainly important, especially if, you know, Jaden plays and, you know, he's healthy enough to play, but, you know, obviously is just recovering from the hip, the rib thing. You're going to need all the help to support him, and that run game is going to be super important. So you hope they can kind of set the tone early, similar to the way they did against Carolina. I know the defense really did that. Dante Fowler, who had a heck of a game. But establishing the run early and sticking with it consistently, I think is always going to be important, especially against a defense like this.
And then on the other side, when you look at trying to slow down Caleb Williams and this evolved version of the Bears offense, you could say they've evolved, they've gotten a lot better, or you could say they've faced the Jaguars and the Panthers and the Titans and a bunch of really bad football teams. How much do you buy the improvement from Chicago, and what's the confidence level on the defensive side of the ball around the building as you've talked to guys throughout the week?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows that he's a heck of a talent. I mean, there's no denying that. You know, he didn't have the immediate impact that Jaden did. And I know they talked about having that meeting with Shane Waldron and the team's leadership council. And then they made some adjustments to the offense, and it seems better tailored to what Caleb does well. But he's, you know, even without it, I think he's still a force behind there. And the more he sees as a quarterback, the harder it's going to be to face him. So I don't think they can... I don't think you can go into it saying, oh, he just played two pretty bad teams and that's why he had good games. I think he's actually a quality player, and he's progressing quite a bit. But yeah, he's going to be a challenge. It's like any mobile quarterback, you know. You got to find a way to contain him and not let him out of the pocket, but, you know, and limit the explosives in the pass game. And it's always going to be a challenge.
And then the last thing I've kind of wondered, and they're pretty tight-lipped over there, but who knows what you've been able to get out of folks. You're good at the reporting thing, Nikki, so I'm going to see what you've got, is how turned up is the aggressiveness dial defensively? Because I think you can make an argument that you want to make Caleb just be really patient, beat you from the pocket, you know, invite them to run the football a little bit, play these two high structures, and be a patient version of this defense that's worked at times this year. I think you could also make an argument that Caleb Williams, while he will throw down the field, has not been very good at it as a pro, and that inviting him to do that, while it comes with risk, is something that might pay off. how aggressive do you anticipate Joe Witt Jr. being with the blitzes, the coverage structures, and in the defense in general against Williams?
Yeah, I think they could bring a good bit of pressure. You know, we saw how that sort of rattled Caleb Williams in the first few games. So I would expect them to, you know, pick off some of the things that worked well for those teams early on. I would imagine they're studying, you know, the whole gamut of his film this season to see, you know, what are some of the weaknesses that he's still dealing with, even with the adjustments, even with some of the improvement that he's made over these last few weeks, and really try to exploit that. But to me, when coaches talk a lot about aggressiveness, yes, it's partly about, you know, really, you know, pressuring and trying to disrupt the quarterback. It's also about the players just playing confidently in the system. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of the Commanders' issues have been on defense up until this point, is just communication and kind of getting in their own way. And if they can play soundly on their own, I think they got a really talented group. The problem over these last, you know, 7 weeks when they've arrived is they just kind of step on their own foot, and communication breakdowns or blown coverages or missed tackles. But if they can play soundly, then I think they should, you know, be pretty good and hold their own against Caleb.
Going to be fun to watch Sunday, of course, Bears, Commanders. Nikki Javala will be there covering it for the Washington Post. Nikki, I will see you in the press box. Have a great rest of your weekend until then. And thanks for your time, as always, here on the radio.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Nikki Javala with us here on the Hoffman Show. Always appreciate her time. When we get back, Anthony, we have a hole in the show. Do you have any thoughts on what we should do? We could talk about Jordan Poole going bananas and then the Wizards losing anyway. Is there anything else from the football side of things that we want to do before we go around the NFL at 5:30?
No, I mean, unless we wanted to we didn't make our pick yesterday.
Yeah, which probably is a good thing because we probably would have gotten it wrong.
Now with Poole back, I was thinking about the Rams.
Thinking about is different than 100% would have picked.
Yeah, you're right. I was probably going to go with the Vikings.
Yeah, you were. We could definitely talk about Thursday Night Football a little bit. We'll get to Thursday Night Football, and we'll get to the Wizards game next. Then we'll go around the NFL coming up at 5:30 here on the Hoffman Show.